Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now here's Justin.
If you will, take your copy of the Old Testament, lay your Bible almost as it were on the spine, and if you open it up in the middle, chances are you'll wind up in the book of Psalms, because the book of Psalms is the middle of the Bible. And I really want us to key in on Psalm number 52 tonight. Psalm number 52. Now, we're familiar with the book of Psalms. It is a book of poetry, not written in the English language, but in Hebrew. With it being Hebrew, it's laid out in a certain way. It will make a statement and then repeat it and go a little bit farther, often called the bridge building technique. What I love about the book of Psalms is it offers us, as you will, a second glance, a second insight to a lot of the events of the Old Testament. Of course, David wrote right about half of the Psalms that are attributed to him, may have wound up writing more that are not ascribed to David. But we can kind of see the heart of David and kind of what's going through his mind on these instances. Now, we're familiar with Psalm 51. That's that beautiful psalm that David pens after he repents of the sins that he had committed with Bathsheba and the iniquity that was brought upon him, and we learn how to repent from sins in that psalm. But I want us to look at Psalm 52 tonight. What's interesting about the book of Psalms, each psalm is its own body of work. Psalm 52 is not chapter 52. It doesn't follow the events of 51, and it doesn't lead you into the events of 53. It is its own standalone document that happens to be assigned in our Bible, number 52. What's also interesting about the book of Psalms is a majority of them have a title ascribed to the top of it. Now, these titles, from what we can tell, historically speaking, are in the oldest surviving manuscripts of the Old Testament. So that tells us it's there, more likely than not, for a reason. And it kind of sets the tone, if you will, for what we'll learn in the Psalms. So, for instance, Psalm 52 says, "To the chief musician." That means this was to be performed publicly. Much like the songs we sing in our worship services, these would be the lyrics that somebody else would have put a musical notation behind. They would sing these songs. Then mashiel is an interesting word. It's untranslated. We don't know what that means. Maybe it's denotes a certain level of importance, if you will. And then we see it as a psalm of David. So David being your author. Now here's where the last part of this is very interesting. It is a psalm written when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him that David has come to the house of Ahimelech, the high priest at the time. Now we can find this story in 1 Samuel 21 and in 1 Samuel 22. And Doeg, a way to remember him, is a bad egg. Doeg, the bad egg, because he is an adversary of God's people. He is not trying to do what God has said to do. In our psalm before us, I want us to look at calling it reality revealed. There's three different things in this psalm I want you to notice here. We're going to read this psalm in its entirety, beginning in the first four verses. We see a question asked, "Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man," referencing there Doeg. "The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness, Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue." As we look at the reality being revealed, number one, there is a portrait of unrighteousness. A portrait of unrighteousness. We have a depiction here, and in the psalm, it is originally talking, yes, about Doeg, the bad egg. But it also just reveals unrighteousness in general, because most people who are unrighteous, they like to boast of the mischief they're doing. Have you ever noticed those who do wicked? They're not ashamed to do wicked, but they blatantly tell the world, "I have done this, I have done that, we did this together," and they boast, they are happy. The prophet Isaiah talks about people who should be ashamed, but they don't even blush. They're so proud of their sins. That's That's what happened to the church at Corinth. That's why Paul had to write to correct that sin, living with, fellowshipping with a man who was basically having sexual relations, probably with his stepmother. And he was proud of it, so was the church. See, those that do unrighteousness, they boast in their wickedness. But notice, the goodness of God endures forever, continually. Their tongue, they're always coming up with ideas to do wrong. You would think by now, as long as this earth has been here, people would have found out just about every way to do wrong. But it seems like they're always thinking of the next thing I can do, the next high, if you will, on how can I do wrong? How can I do wickedly? Their tongue is like a sharp razor. It's going to cut with their words. They love, verse 3, evil more than good. Elsewhere in the Bible, we're told, woe to them who love evil more than good. And they love to lie rather than to speak righteousness. I hope not, but maybe you have met someone who you never know if they're telling the truth because they tell more lies than they tell truth. It's almost as if they tell you something that's the truth, you almost fall over backwards. You are just astounded. This is the picture of the unrighteous. Then we get that word Selah, five little letters, untranslated. That's what it would be like more or less in the Hebrew, and it probably is a pause. Think on what he's just said. There are people who are wicked. Notice, thou lovest all devouring words. It goes back to that idea of that tongue. Oh, thou deceitful tongue. It's almost as if he's calling the whole man of unrighteousness being defined by his trait of lying tongue.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
We see here first and foremost that reality is being revealed with a portrait of the unrighteous. But notice here, secondly, the unrighteous have a penalty. Look at verses 5, 6, and 7. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. What is the penalty then of the unrighteous? Well, they will be destroyed in one way or another. Now here he's talking about God literally first off just destroying you and anything you've got going, any inheritance coming after you. But then he also talks about take you away, literally the idea of picking you up and throwing you in a different land, in a different region. Everything you've built up is no longer a benefit for you in this foreign land. He will take you out of your dwelling place and all your roots, your descendants, your whole livelihood will be destroyed. Then we have that word for a pause. See, God does not play around, dear friends, when it comes to unrighteousness. Unrighteousness should always be punished, and it should always be the farthest thing that you and I think about doing, yet too many people like to do it, and there's a punishment for it. Notice this in verse 6, not only is the unrighteous going to be destroyed, but the righteous are going to watch it happen. They're going to see it. They're going to fear. Now, they're not afraid of you, the unrighteous man. The righteous are fearing God because God is the one that's going to destroy the unrighteous. And God is going to be the one that will pluck him out of the land. And so the righteous see that and they are respectful of God. That's the reverential fear. Not I'm afraid of him, but look at the power he has. And then I like that phrase, we'll laugh at him as well. Oftentimes those who are doing wicked deeds or unrighteous deeds, they don't really like those of us who try to do what's right, but they really don't like it when they're found out, or maybe when they're made a laughing stock. Yet here it says, the righteous will see and laugh. Who is this man? Verse 7, he's the one that did not go to God for strength. We see that idea of going to God for strength time and time again presented in the book of Psalms. But instead, he trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness, or literally in his substance. I'm reminded of the man in the book of Luke who was a farmer who had had a great crop, and he said, look what I'm going to do. My barns are too full. I'm going to tear them down and build bigger. Look at me, look at me, I. And that night his soul was required of him, and God called him a fool. He was trusting more in his abundance of his substance than he was in God. And we see this is also characteristic of the unrighteous. So not only are they painted with a portrait, they have a penalty, but I want you to notice how this psalm closes in verses 8 and 9 with a praise for those who are doing right. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Night and day contrast, is it not? The wicked, me, look how good I can do, will be destroyed. But notice how David ends this. But I will dwell with the Lord. I will be, as it were, a green olive tree in the house of God. Just imagine being in the presence of God Almighty. Well, that's the eternal reward for the righteous, is it not? Faithful unto death. Then you receive that crown of life, an eternal dwelling place with him in heaven. But he's praising God, and in praising God, he's praising those who do his word. I trust in the mercy of God continually. David says, basically, there's never been a time where I'm not trusting in God's mercy. Because he knows a lot about receiving mercy from God, if anybody does in the Old Testament. He says, I will praise thee forever because of what you've done, and I will wait on thy name. I will do what you have commanded me to do. If you've told me to do this, I'll do this. If you've told me to do that, I'll do that. I will wait, and I will do your commands. And notice his name is good. As we close out, I think about something else that's good. It was God when he created the world, right? The first of the 6 days of creation, he ended it with "it is good." Closed out at the end, "it is very good." And the name of God is good. Therefore, to do the things of God are also good. Learn this lesson from Doeg the Edomite, Doeg the bad egg, and look at this reality, because unrighteousness is never painted in a pretty light in Scripture. It just never is. And the unrighteous will always suffer a penalty, but the righteous will always be praised.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.
From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior, and I'm Jeff Archie. Dear friends, let's talk about that word study, S-T-U-D-Y. I want to focus on the letter D. Desire. You know, when we study, we desire what we study. Matthew 5 and verse 6 speaks of hungering and thirsting after righteousness, for we shall be filled. The idea of hungering and thirsting after righteousness and being filled is akin to cattle that are on a hillside or out in a field, and how they just constantly eat and graze to remain filled. And when one studies the Word of God, they keep grazing, they keep eating to be filled, and God will provide. Let us make certain we are studying the Word of God together. Visit us at internationalgospelhour.com, and thanks for taking 60 seconds for the Savior, and as always, have a good day. From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior, and I'm Jeff Archie. Listen to this awesome verse. Hebrews 4 and verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." What a powerful verse about the word of God that will make a difference in our lives, within our souls, our spirits, and within our lives, making us better. Sharper than any two-edged sword reminds me of the late gospel preacher, Brother Marshall Keeble, who said that the Lord, that you'd bring the sword down, if you will, on the foot of Satan, and he'd bend over yelling, and you'd raise it up and you'd take off his head. What a thought. Visit us at our website, internationalgospelhour.com. Thanks for taking 60 seconds for the Savior, and have a good day.